Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Kabaza, and for today, we get into a conversation around the state of, I'm just going to call it media for now, but there's a lot of different pieces behind it, so we could call it media and advertising. We could talk about brand building. We could talk about getting a business's story out into the world. All of those different words speak to what we're going to be talking about today, and we're going to be talking to George Chen, who joins us as being part of Avatar Agency Group, and he is the head of strategy there, and hoping to get some insight into what's happening in the sector, but more importantly, maybe trying to see if we can peer into George's crystal ball a little bit about where the industry is going and some of the trends that are helping to shape that particular industry. George, greetings to you today.
Hi, Mandiwa. Thanks for so much for having us.
So, let's start with, the unit that you are coming from. I think when it comes to Avatar, Avatar is no stranger to this specific platform. We have dealt with Avatar on many different levels from a media buying point of view. We've spoken to Zibuziso a number of times, on this platform. But you are specifically, coming from the agency group side. Maybe before we launch into things, you could give us an understanding of what the agency group side of Avatar, is and entails.
Yeah, from personal perspective, I'm probably one of the newest members of the Avatar Agency Group. The agency started, almost 13, 14 years ago, and has grown into a sort of holding company structure, with Avatar Agency as its core creative offering, and then ancillary services that kind of cater to the marketing requirements of brands and clients in various forms, such as PR, media that you mentioned, eventing, etc. So yeah, very very proud to be one of the biggest sort of locally owned agencies on the South African landscape.
So maybe we could get a sense from yourself, right? When you look at the landscape and everything that's going on right now, what's driving, agency business right now? From what you can see, because those are the things that I'm sure are keeping you. I don't know whether they keep you up at night or whether you're sleeping peacefully, but as the head of strategy, I can imagine that you have to keep up with trends, sort of as a way to try and formulate, what the industry looks like in the future and how Avatar stays relevant, in that pursuit.
Yeah, I think there are obviously multiple angles from which, something as broad as that needs to be tackled. From a macro perspective, obviously, the talk has been all around technology, AI, and how that is sort of an automation and something that really helps agencies produce more work more quickly. But I think that really is very much the first base of it. Production and efficiencies are obviously important, but I think when we're able to tap into the power of technology to augment our creative services and solutions and thinking, I think that's really where the power comes from. Creativity is really about to get that massive efficiency boost once we start optimizing how technology can supplement that for us. I think the other side of it is brands themselves, the clients that we work with. I think gone are the days, or soon gone will be the days of brands investing in platforms. That's obviously not going to go away immediately, but I think increasingly you see brands creating their own platforms, and creating their own audiences. Instead of paying a third party to kind of get your name and engagement out there, it's about attracting people to connect with your own tribe. I think thirdly, and the last point is around from an agency perspective. Every agency has their own approach, has their own philosophy on how to service clients and build brands. But we really believe that it's time for the African story to take the focal point. It's time for us to share our story with the world and become the benchmark rather than always following.
I like the fact that you've brought out a number of different, aspects right now. And one of the ones that I want to touch on is traditional media, right? The place of traditional media. Obviously, I have a vested interest because this is the world that I'm coming from. You and I talking on a podcast platform, is sort of, traditional media working to working to stay abreast, and change how we are communicating, reaching our audiences, and that type of thing. But keen as a professional who is interacting with the brands, and here we are encouraging honesty, utmost honesty. What is the place, if at all, of traditional media versus I guess some of the more digital platforms that you alluded to earlier on, that brands, to your point just now, that brands are actively investing in, where on the landscape does traditional media fall? Because I can imagine that even just from a budget point of view, right, whatever used to go to TV, radio, print, etc., those, the size of the pie or the it has the pie has probably grown, but the slice of the pie that some of these traditional elements are taking is probably less, at least in my estimation. But maybe you could shed a bit of light around that.
No, I think it's interesting that you allude to a podcast platform as traditional. I mean, 5, 6, 10 years ago, this was cutting edge, right? And I think that in itself illustrates how quickly things are and have changed and will continue to change, I believe. As much as technology and platforms are becoming a sort of proliferation from a touch point perspective, I think there's always going to be a place, certainly in the next 5, 10, 20 years, for traditional media, because we know that consumers are getting ever more savvy. They're getting information from multiple sources. And as much as brands try and create their own tribe to reach new people, you do need a sort of brand agnostic space for brands to tell their stories. Once you become a fan and you engage on kind of an owned space, then sure, then that makes complete sense. But for someone who might never have engaged or thought of a particular brand, it's just not natural or realistic to expect them to gravitate towards that brand. So I think traditional channels still have that authority for brands to be present and kind of demonstrate their relevance to people. And I think the challenge, as you alluded to as well, is that there is increasing fragmentation and increasingly smaller budgets for people to work with and for platforms to work with. I guess the challenge there for platforms is how do we stay relevant? How do we innovate new formats to engage people's new media habits?
You and I are talking in the week that the Competition Commission of South Africa has released its provisional report. It has a very long name, so I have to always bring it up because it's hard to memorize. But it is their what you call this provisional report on Media and Digital Platform Market Inquiry, the MDPMI, that I have been following since it came into inception in 2023. One of the big headlines there is that the likes of Google, the recommendation is Google should be paying 300 to 500 million rand per year for 5 years, to traditional media houses in South Africa to sort of try and correct some of the imbalance that they have created in the market. I have many different views, around this, but the insinuation and the purpose of the report is of the inquiry as a whole was that these companies, big tech, Google, Facebook, Amazon and others have come in and have taken a large swath of the advertising pie, which media tends to be driven on. Some estimates have it, at 60%, some have it at 75, 80%. But what's not in question is that the majority of that pie is going towards these big tech players. One of the things that I was hoping that you could articulate is when a client, when a business is thinking about getting their message out there, right? What is it about a Google or a Meta, that makes it so appealing? Is it the low barriers of entry? Is it cost? Is it reach? Like, what's happening? What's playing out in the scenarios? Because for us to reach this point, it means businesses, such as the one that you're interfacing with, are voting with their pockets, literally, and sending their advertising dollars and, spend in that direction. So
Yes.
I guess it's just trying to understand the actual competitive edge where it has been,
Yeah, for me, the inquiry is kind of it's a double-edged sword, right? Like without these big tech companies driving economy and commerce, where would South Africa or where would the world be? I think that's kind of the key points that we always need to keep in mind. Yes, they do have, almost endless budgets to develop and bring in new things, and it might seem anti-competitive, but on the other hand, they're also being hyper-relevant to people's consumption habits, and that's why the numbers gravitate towards those platforms, right? They're offering a service or solution that people need and want. And I think speaking as a pure capitalist, if you're a brand and you needed to connect with people, you're going to fish where the fish are. There are obviously broader implications in terms of, competition for the traditional media houses. But again, to my earlier point, the challenge has been laid down to the traditional players. How do you innovate and how do you can't fight this battle alone. So how do you create an ecosystem potentially of traditional media that, gives you at least a fighting chance against Meta, Google, etc.?
Yeah, and it's very fascinating just sort of going through all the various debates that people are having. But the other curiosity that I had, you alluded to it just now, is that over and above, this whole debate around big tech and how brands are choosing to tell their stories and engage with their audiences and potential customers, is this investment in own platforms. And in my observation, it's happening in two ways. Firstly, you've got the Googles and the Metas, etc. You can drive your advertising through, some of these websites, banner advertising. You can do video advertising on the various social media platforms. There's that piece. But it also feels like there's also another piece that's happening concurrently where there's a difference between having your own platform and investing in your presence on a platform. So, if I'm a bank and I invest in my Instagram or TikTok, that's me
Yes.
investing in my presence on a platform.
Correct.
But if I'm the same bank and I am building out my own internal newsletter, my own internal radio station, my own internal TV station, own internal podcast offering and that type of, that's our own platforms that we control. And it really does seem like a lot of companies are pushing towards, that direction. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, and I think for me that's an interesting space because some of those examples you gave now have been in existence for decades, right? Think of the Spur radio stations, retailers with their own branded radio stations. I think the power of it is only being realized now because I think as brands become more and more corporate, where you've got kind of a bank might be quite monolithic. At telecoms might be quite monolithic, but if you think about retail groups such as the Foschini Group, where they have offerings across every touch point of our lives, almost the price, for instance, you've got very different audiences shopping and engaging with different brands within that group and that stable. And what a perfect opportunity, given that you're already halfway through the door to cross-sell and upsell in those environments. So for me, that's almost where clients should be focusing on. If you have that sort of presence, you've got to leverage and mine your own data before you really go out there and spend money unnecessarily, potentially.
Yeah, I feel me. I have a lot of thoughts around this one because of a concept that they call, I think it's called platform risk, that you sort of play by the rules of the platform that you're on. But if you have your own platform, you get to dictate, you
Yes.
know, what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the capitalist in me says, people choose, as you said earlier, they vote with their wallets, right? And if an offering is appealing to you, and while you're in that environment, you get served something else that might potentially also appeal to you, then why not? Then everyone wins.
I want to shift a little bit to another area of interesting technology, that's AI. Everyone talks about AI now. Once upon a time, it was all about ChatGPT, but in 2025, DeepSeek is the word that everyone is now using. Could you encapsulate for us, your industry's relationship with AI? Is it seen as a friend or is it seen as a foe?
I think increasingly as a friend, maybe a year or two ago, there's a lot of I guess just mistrust or misunderstanding of the power of it. But all of it really for me personally comes down to being open to playing on it. Because you don't know what you're gonna give of yourself. I think it's true in life, right? You've got to put in something for you to get something out. And the better your input, the better your output. So I guess the more you experiment and the more you're willing to fail and learn quickly, the better your outcome and the quicker your efficiency sort of scales. I think every agency out there is very much on that drive, and some of them are further along than others. A lot of them are focusing more on the executional side, which is great. Others are using it as a thinking partner, and all of those have validity. Some of them. A lot of them probably use both. I think just from an AI perspective, the augmentation of creativity is going to be, for me personally, the important bit. It's not about intelligence replacing humans, but how humans make use of it to augment the output.
From an avatar point of view, is there maybe a group-wide policy, on use of AI, or do you sort of leave it in the hands of the various professionals, as and when?
Yeah, I think we heading towards a journey of formalizing these things. We're still quite independent and there's that entrepreneurialism in a lot of us here. So I think a lot of us have been playing in our own spaces. But going forward, we'll need to obviously align and streamline everyone. I think on top of that, clients have their own policies in terms of AI usage. Some clients just from their corporate standpoint perspective, will not, almost allow agencies to engage with AI when it comes to working with a brand, and we completely understand that from a risk and privacy perspective. That's obviously that's paramount. So yeah, there's a lot of streamlining that needs to happen. And also being cognizant of clients' needs and willingness to engage in that front.
You know, one of the things I'm quite curious about, and I completely understand that some clients might have, you know, an aversion or would want to make sure that there isn't any sensitive data that ends up being exposed on some of those platforms. But one of the things I'm quite curious about is agencies tend to employ a lot of creatives, right?
Yes.
I recently had a fascinating conversation with a creative in a different sector, theater, and how AI is being used to bring productions to life. And AI is also being used, you know, in the actual, as people are sitting and watching, AI is being used in that experience. And it's one production, but each performance of that production ends up being different because AI is being used, and that's being, you know, used to create a sense of novelty and, you know, push up the experiential factor. But coupled with that is that there's a lot of very staunch traditional creatives that feel like the real creative juices must come from, you know, the head, it must come from the soul, it must come from within. Are your creatives or any creatives that you are engaging with, are they embracing of technology and of AI, you know, in your advertising sense, or are people still sitting and taking pride that no, I must storyboard, you know, the old way by myself in my head? How are some of those discussions going?
Yeah, I think as you mentioned, creativity takes many, many forms. In the advertising space, I think we all have to be realistic that our sort of creativity is very much commercially driven. And if it's about commercials and about efficiency, then we need to be more efficient. And if technology can help us do that, then amazing. I think from an avatar perspective, I think it is unspoken, but everyone has that understanding in that, you know, this is now the base level for advertising. If we don't use it, we're being left behind. The challenge we have that we put on ourselves is really, you know, how do we make sure that our enhancement and our input into the technology yields us a better result than everyone else? You know, whether it's about formulating and having a clarity of thought so that AI can help you strengthen and bolster the thinking, then that's great. But it's still about fundamentally human creativity that's enhanced by technology.
Mm. And when it comes to, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? When it comes to the engagement with clients, with businesses, with brands, of course you've got the ones that you've just mentioned now where they completely are like, no, let's not, you know, deal with AI at all. But do clients feel a way if they know that some of the input has come in from AI on maybe a campaign or something or a piece of work?
Yeah, I think in fact a lot of clients do want you know, AI to augment efficiencies. Certainly from a production perspective, if we can halve their cost and time and get them to market quicker, then that's a win for them. So I think on the production side, there's definitely a lot of open-mindedness. I think from the creation and thinking up it, you know, the idea itself has to come still from a human brain, because that relevance and humanity and, you know, the real raw emotions that humans feel can never be replicated by a computer just yet, I believe. What we can do is to identify that emotion or the tension that we're trying to build and have AI tell that story for us in a better way. So whether it's helping us storyboard it quickly, helping us create a little mood board or video so that clients understand the idea up front. I think that's the key. It's not to replace the hundreds of creatives that are in the industry at the moment.
Yeah, and I think part of the debate as well, which I'm also curious about, is the tools that people are using out there. And it's one of the reasons why I asked, you know, whether it's friend or foe, because when it comes to what people think of as AI right now in the main, it tends to be the generative sense, in the generative sense, right? Whereas it tends to be in the generative sense, and it tends to be text-based. That's the way that most people know and understand AI. I go to a chatbot, a ChatGPT, a DeepSeek, a Gemini, a Meta AI, whatever it is, and you know, I'm going to have the conversation, answer my questions, all of that.
Yeah.
But in the creative industry, AI is doing some crazy things, yeah. Right? When you look at the moves by Adobe, you know, to incorporate AI in the full suite, Firefly, the fact that you can generate images literally inside of Photoshop, you know, create scenes that you can fill clouds, you can do all types of things. You can, I believe, OpenAI and Sora, you know, their video generation model. Google also has one. I've done some work in on the production side,
yeah.
And I'm just wondering how, I guess, production professionals are also thinking around that, you know, as well, because to your earlier point, if a certain tool is going to able to get us there simpler, cheaper, better, faster, then it's
yeah. I think, you know, with any innovation, it's always going to be some that might be left behind. The challenge, obviously, is to not be left behind. You mentioned a lot of these tools, and we touched on it earlier in terms of helping us sell the idea better to clients up front. I think from a production side, if you look at the media landscape now, with almost proliferation of digital outdoor, creating assets is a real challenge for agencies, right? And especially smaller agencies where they don't always have all of the skills and resources to produce all of these assets that need to be applied everywhere, from digital to digital out of home, to a TV ad, etc. If AI can help them, agencies like that, or individuals like that, and teams like that, to become more competitive, isn't that a great thing for the industry as a whole? I just think from a technology perspective, I say the more the better. You know, like, because that's when really we can truly bring them all together and kind of synergize their power in a way that helps us amplify whatever message that we're trying to get out there.
All right. You know, as we're talking, you and I have sort of taken quite a deep dive, and we've sort of gotten into the weeds on a number of these different topics. But how do you, in your role as head of strategy at Avatar Agency Group, how do you, I guess, watch what's happening in the landscape to make sure that Avatar staying, what you call this, either relevant, current, or, you know, maybe one or two steps ahead?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is so much information out there. From a personal perspective, I think it's about being willing and open to listening from, you know, and being curious enough to listen to perspectives, because we've got 100 or so colleagues out there who are much more in touch with the world than I am. I'm a little bit old and outdated, right? And, you know, it's kind of because they get excited about new things. They're the ones to try it out and kind of start engaging and growing on them. And being able to have that mindset to play with them in those spaces, I think, is probably the first key to discovery. And the second part, it's just a constant willingness to learn. So We do spend a lot of time reading kind of industry, whether it be white papers or technological trends that's coming up on the horizon. It's up to us as strategists to keep abreast of those and being open enough to experiment with them to see if there's any value that it can offer the agency and our clients.
And what are you excited about, either currently or, on the horizon?
For me, speaking from a personal perspective, I think Consensus is a platform that's still text-based, but the ability to give us a very clear, succinct view of so many data points and well-researched data points is interesting and very valuable as a strategist, because I think for me that's when the crazy creative links can be made. The more you know, the more you're able to draw relationships and correlations between things, and often that's where real fresh insights can come to life.
No, nice. Nice. I think before I let you go, it's maybe two more things and then we can wrap it up. Firstly, we've been talking a lot about all of these different technology platforms, spent quite a bit of time talking about AI, also talking about traditional media, big tech, all of this stuff. One of the big things that people tend to be worried about in technology debates is privacy, right? From an agency point of view, is it something that falls, on your radar as part of the risk matrix? And if so, like how? Like, what's the concern?
Yeah, I mean, of course, there are rules and regulations out there that we all have to follow in terms of data and privacy. I don't see it as a limitation, really, but more as an opportunity to build trust, because the campaigns that we work on, the message that we get out there, utilizing often very sensitive information, if we can use that in a way that really gets a real human connection to the audiences that we're trying to reach, then I don't think anyone really questions where it comes from, as long as we're not directly leaking any sort of sensitive information out there. I think the ability to it really does allow us an opportunity to be quite relevant, when we, to my earlier point, have access to these multiple data points. It gives us a fresh perspective on kind of human behavior and how people engage,
Okay. And then the other one is what's the word I'm looking for? The ability to stay abreast. We've spoken about it quite a bit with you, and we've also spoken about it from an industry point of view. But I'm sure that there's an element of it as well from an internal culture and also educating clients, point of view, because if you're going to use certain techniques and that type of thing with clients, in certain cases, you almost have to educate them about why this is the best approach. But internally, as an organization, you also have to make sure that you and your team and as an organization, you're also, there, that it's not only George who's staying on the cutting edge, but you also have the whole organization making sure that they understand what the trends are and what's the relevant things that they need to keep up with so that they can execute, to the best of their abilities. How does one go about that?
Well, I think speaking from an avatar perspective, I guess with us being quite an independent and young team, there is a very open culture and open lines of communication. So, we've got specific platforms that we share interesting findings all of the time, and often there's a lot of engagement on those platforms. Like as soon as something new comes on, somebody will either hate it or love it, and that's kind of the first step to staying abreast. I think from a discovery perspective, it's, as I mentioned earlier, lots and lots of reading and experimenting, often in our spare time, and the willingness to apply it in our next brief or in the next challenge that we faced with, from, you know, whether it's internally or from a client perspective. And I think for clients, obviously there is still as close as we are to clients themselves, there will always be a division. So bringing them along on the journey is more of a, you know, speaks to the strength of the partnership. If we're able to demonstrate value and show to them how it is that these new technologies and thoughts can influence how we engage with people, then that is exactly what we strive to do all of the time. That openness to collaborate and experiment, I think internally and externally, probably the two foundational pillars for us.
All right, cool. So that's how we wrap up today's discussion, just talking to George about what's going on, in the world of, media and advertising, speaking specifically about, what's happening, what he's seeing in the sector, some of the big trends that are there, starting off, talking about the place of traditional media in a world where technology has changed so many things and continues to do so. It's such a rapid pace. George just saying that traditional media still holds a valuable place in how a lot of brands are looking to communicate, but there's been a huge shift towards a lot of your digital channels and brands looking to invest so much more into their own platforms. And we also made that distinction, around brands' presence on certain channels, but at the same time, the fact that a lot of them, and this is some of the advice coming from George, to say, brands should also be investing in their own platforms as well, because it's actually an idea that has been there for many decades. It's just that, some of these things are now starting to catch on now. And he says there's a big opportunity to be able to cross-sell in many instances. I think he gave the examples of the likes of, Foschini, the Foschini Group, which has a lot of different businesses underneath, as well as the likes of Mr. Price, to say, there's a lot of opportunity that, one is in one establishment. Say Markham's, they have the ability to, cross-sell one of their other properties. So there's huge value in that type of thing. Also getting into discussions around artificial intelligence. This is the thing that everyone and their cat keeps talking about. Him just talking about the fact that it's here. Let's not ignore it. Let's just embrace it. And talking about how they're using it in the world, of advertising, how it is fitting into some of the work that they are doing internally, but also at the same time, how it sort of fits into the workflow when engaging with clients, putting together pitches, storyboarding, and coming up with concepts, ideas. And the big thing he was talking about is that, from a corporate sense, as long as you can help to make a certain process or workflow simpler, better, cheaper, faster, then the technology should be seen as a friend, as opposed to be a foe, despite, some of the more traditional and traditional attitudes around creativity that are out there. And then I think just ending off talking about privacy and some of the big things that he's looking at on the horizon and some of the things that he's looking forward to going forward, how they keep up as an organization and how you evangelize for new ways of doing business with clients. So that's it. We're in discussion with George Chen. He is the head of strategy for Avatar Agency Group. George, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.